Reading from the Old Testament, taken from Genesis 18:20-32. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the church of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I, who am but dust and ashes, have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous, would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? So he said, if I find the 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed now, I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who finds, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And this is the word of the Lord.
John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. But Jesus' disciples have not yet heard anything about prayer from Jesus. They have been watching Jesus praying early in the morning. Before it is dawn, they would see Jesus going and praying. They saw even during the daytime Jesus withdrawing from the crowd, going and praying. They saw Jesus, even after the heavy day's work, the busy day, he would still go and pray. Even at this passage that we read from Luke chapter 11, they were waiting for Jesus to finish praying. As soon as Jesus finished praying, they came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray, but you have not taught us how to pray. Now, why didn't Jesus teach them all along? I don't know. But one thing comes to me powerfully is that prayer is better caught than taught. You learn prayer by praying. The more you pray, the more you know what is prayer. You may be having some kind of a method, some kind of a technique taught, but we have to practice prayer. Prayer we need to be practicing, or we need to be praying every day. For example, if you are a doctor, the more operations that you perform, the good doctor you become. Simple as that. Prayer can be learned only through prayer. We all know this particular statement: prayer brings victory. Prayers bring victory. But the question comes to us, all of us, is this: do you pray? We know this statement, we know this is true, but do we practice? Do we pray? Now, prayer is not always easy. I have hardly seen people coming to me with this saying, "Pastor, I prayed and God answered me exactly as I asked." I have not heard many people saying that. I asked for it and I got it exactly as I asked. People have told me that, yes, I asked for it, but God gave more than what I asked. But not the exact way that I asked, God granted. I don't know whether that's your experience. You can share with me. But I hear this quite often. People say to me, Pastor, we prayed, but we are waiting. We have been praying for so long, yet the change is yet to take place. I don't say this to discourage you. I say this because this is the common experience among Christians. So if you experience this, I also experience the same. It doesn't mean that we should give up prayer. It means that we continue to pray, because Bible teaches us that pray without stopping. Pray continuously. Bible teaches us that. But when we here have unanswered prayers, people come up with some kind of a statements like this. They say, you didn't pray hard enough. Have you heard people saying that? You don't have enough faith. You asked for the wrong thing. It's a mystery. You will understand one day why your prayer is not answered. Everything happens for a reason. Something better is coming. God is testing you. These are all the statements we hear from people for the unanswered prayers. Honestly speaking, this is not helpful. Maybe true, may not be true, but that's not helping in our prayer life. Bible teaches us that keep praying. Now, there are wrong ways we pray. Our prayers sometimes, I thought I will bring two examples of praying not correctly. So I will bring those two examples and then I will move forward. There's a story told about a young boy who knelt by his bedside one night and began his prayer loudly. He said, Dear Lord, I want a bicycle, a PlayStation, and a trip to Disneyland. His mother told him, Why are you shouting? God isn't deaf. But the boy replied, But grandma is, and she is in the next room. We do that, right? As a parent, when you say the family prayer, you want to teach your children through your prayer. Do you do that? I did that. Or you pray with others, and through prayer, you want to teach them some lessons. Do we do that? Let us not do that. That's not prayer at all. This other wrong way of doing prayer is we think that prayer is like a vending machine. You take the coin, you go and put it in the coin slot, and you choose whatever you want to choose, and then you press the button, things come. We have that kind of an understanding. Prayer is something like that. You go, you ask, press the button and wait for answers to come. That's what we try to do. Prayer is not like that. Prayer is not just about asking. It is about knowing who we are asking. Prayer is about relationship. In fact, prayer is relationship. When you pray, you are building a relationship with your God. You are talking with Him, you are spending time with Him, you are building relationship with God. Prayer is relationship. He has done everything for us on the cross, and he wants to communicate his love to us. He is always there to communicate his love to us. We need to be connected with him, and we need to be praying to him, and we have to enjoy that love, and we have to enjoy the relationship, and we have to grow in that relationship. So Jesus told in this passage, I have not looked at the prayer Jesus taught us, but after Jesus taught this prayer, he told an illustration. So I thought I will look at the illustration and also the Old Testament passage that was read to us, and let's see what we can learn. The illustration is very simple. At midnight, somebody came to this man's house. He did not have anything to offer him, so he went and knocked the next door, his own friend's house, and asked for 3 loaves of bread. The one who was inside the house did not want to get up because he was sleeping along with his children. But because he asked, he got up and gave. That's the small illustration. What Jesus is teaching us through this illustration is this, that it's a relationship. God is your friend. Earlier, when Jesus taught this prayer, the Lord's Prayer that we call, that prayer starts with our Father. It's relationship. You are building relationship with your Father. I don't know how did Abraham pray, how did Moses pray, how did they address God, I mean. How did David address God? We don't know. But the concept of God being the Father is already there in the Old Testament. But Jesus brought it very powerfully in his teaching. God is your Father. Have relationship with him. He's wonderful Father. And in this short illustration, Jesus is even bringing it very closer, saying that God is your friend and who is closer to you. You don't need to walk a long distance, next door, closer to you. And he is near. Build relationship with him. He is not far from you. Now, when you go to your friend, you talk openly. You pour your heart to your friend. You talk with trust and confidence. Now, you don't go to him with looking for words, looking for right pronunciation. You just go and pour your heart. So prayer is not performance. Sometimes we get that idea that I have to pray such a long hours with some kind of a performance or some kind of a demonstration. Prayer is not performance. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is not about perfection. You have to come up with the right vocabulary, right sentences, right grammar. It's not about perfection, but it's again relationship. Prayer is not about fancy words or flowery language. Prayer is a relationship. Corrie ten Boom, some of us visited her house in Harlem. She survived in a Nazi concentration camp. Once somebody asked her, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Because we pray only when the emergency happens. You know, when something is going wrong, we immediately kneel down and pray. So this question is a very relevant question to all of us. Is prayer a steering wheel or a spare tire? What we will say? No, it is a steering wheel. Okay, now we move on. This man who came to his friend and asked 3 loaves of bread. Why did he come and ask for 3 loaves of bread? He looked at his own situation and he saw that there's no food at his house and he is in need of some food. Which is beyond his limit now. So he went and knocked at the next door. So prayer is about assessing your situation. Ask yourselves. Make an assessment of yourself. And then you will know how to ask. He's very clear. The one who came to his house is a healthy man, hungry man, and 1 loaf of bread, 1 loaf will not be sufficient, so I need to give at least 3. So he assesses his situation, he understands his situation, accordingly he goes and knocks his friend's house. So prayer is about asking specifically. Prayer is about clarity. It is about knowing what you need and presenting that need to God. In this passage, Jesus also says very beautifully, "Ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you." Ask yourself, seek yourself, and then you will know how to knock the door. There is a problem with the tense or with the grammar of these statements, ask, seek, and knock. In original Greek, it is written in aorist tense. Aorist tense is not which is in English. That's very unique of Greek. What is aorist tense? Someone said it's a timeless tense. Timeless tense. Very simple. It should have been translated like this. Keep on asking till you receive it. Keep on seeking till you find it. Keep on knocking till the door is opened for you. So that's how this tense is understood in Greek, and that's how we have to take it. Prayer is not a one-time event. You asked for it, and then you forget about it. This is about keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking till the door is opened. So when you go to God, you go with the direction. You go with a clear idea of what you should be asking. Now we turn to the first lesson that was read to us. Abraham now understood that Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed. God didn't tell him. He said that I'm sending these 2 people who are going to see the report that I received is correct or not. But Abraham assessed the situation. He knew that something is going to happen. Because He already knew about Sodom and Gomorrah, and he knew that things are not at all good. So he started praying. He understood the situation, and he started praying. He is praying with the... he started with 50 people. What he says is that, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? That's a straight question, but with the humility he is asking, will you destroy everyone, even along with the righteous? His intention is, of course, he wanted his cousin Lot to be saved, but not only that, he wanted the entire both cities to be kept safe, or the entire two cities to be given some more opportunity. So he is pleading, will you destroy the entire city along with the righteous? God started listening and responding. Very beautiful, isn't it? First he came up with the 50, and then he came up with the 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. God listens. That's what all important. God listens to Abraham. God listens. Whether your prayer is answered straight away or not, but God listens. And he understands Abraham's heart. And he is engaging with the Abraham, which is very important. He's engaging. He doesn't need to. But he wants to listen. He wants to engage with his own creation. God responded beautifully. Now, here what we see is that Abraham boldly, firmly, confidently asked this prayer. He trusted in the Lord, and he confidently asked this prayer, which is, I think, a beautiful thing. When we go and pray to God, are we confident about the prayer that we ask? Are we bold in saying the prayer that we have in our hands? Now, bold intercession is also coming with respect, with reverence. Every other request, he was humbling himself. I am asking one more question. Will that be all right? Read that conversation. Beautiful. He understands who God is. You know, whenever we come to God, we have to have these two understanding. God is transcendence. God is also immanent. What is transcendence? He is beyond us. What is immanent? He is with us. He is dwelling with us. You have to have these two dimensions. So he comes with that two dimensions. It's all because he knows who God is. God is beyond us. Almighty, all-powerful, wonderful God. I have no right to stand before him. And at the same time that God is wanting to engage with me, because he is with me, he understands me. So with... of course, he comes with the bold intercession, but that comes with the reverence. His request is coming with the humility. His bold asking is done with the politeness. And I hear people pray, sometimes commanding God. In the name of Jesus, I want this. I do not know whether that is right or wrong. I don't want to comment on that. But God is God. We are all created by him. And he graciously engages with us. and he graciously saved us through his son Jesus. And we have to go with him with reverence, with respect, with politeness, and also with humility. So, three things I brought in my short meditation today. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is asking specific things. You ask yourself, you search yourself, and then you know how to knock and wait. And thirdly, prayer is to ask boldly, confidently to the Lord, but of course with the reverence, respect, and humility. Now, this passage is also giving us assurance that he is your father, will he not give you? If you ask for bread to your father, will he give you stone? Will you ask your father fish, will he give you a scorpion? Will you ask your father egg, will he give you instead of that snake? So we evil people, not good people, are knowing how to give good gifts to our own children, how much more God will provide. When somebody comes to your house, knock at your door and ask for you a glass of water, and if you look at the person and say, no, I won't give you, go away, what does that mean? The shame is not on the person who asked water. The shame is on the person who has refused to give. God is so good, so wonderful, our loving Father. You knock at him, and he will answer to your prayers. May the dear Lord bless us all. Amen. Shall we stand and affirm our faith? Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. As we are standing, let's all join in singing this response song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.